blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you govern all things both in heaven and on earth. Mercifully hear the supplications of your people, and in our time grant us your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whenever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 71, found on your insert. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. In your righteousness, deliver me and set me free.
Incline your ear to me and save me.
Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe.
You are my crag and my stronghold.
Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked.
From the clutches of the evildoer and the oppressor.
For you are my hope, O Lord God.
My confidence since I was young.
I have been sustained by you ever since I was born. From my mother's womb, you have been my strength.
My praise shall be always of you.
Amen.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, and reading from the 13th chapter. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly. But then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus began to speak in the synagogue at Nazareth. Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at his gracious words that came from his mouth. He said, Is not this Joseph's son? He said to them, doubtless you will quote me this proverb, Doctor, cure yourself, and you will say, do you hear also of your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum? He said, truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, There are many widows in Israel at the time of Elijah. But the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except the widow of Zarephath and Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha. None of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, that they might hurl him off the cliff. He passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So last week I was talking with a friend of mine who didn't grow up in church, wouldn't identify herself as a Christian, and she said, "Why do politicians use the same sentence out of Scripture with two totally different interpretations? How can that happen?" And she really was trying to understand. And as you can imagine, that's quite a lengthy explanation. And I said, well, because Scripture is more complex than just reading. I mean, it really does have the spirit in it and our intentions and the lens through which we see the world and read it. It's very complicated because life is very complicated. But I think about the readings that we have today and what they're telling us to do and how we are to live our lives. And that's the idea, is that Scripture informs our lives and it invites us into a way of life. Today we start in the Gospel with the second half of the same story. And I always wonder why, every once in a while, the people who are picking what readings we're going to read this week divide the story in half when it would have made more sense as a whole story. And for those of you, some know where we get the readings from each week, other than on the printed piece of paper, and some of you don't. So I'm going to just take this moment to ask you to pull out the Red Book of Common Prayer in front of you and turn to page 912. And if you look at the bottom, it says lectionary C, which means we're in year C. There's years A, B, and C. And if you look down the left-hand column, look down to the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, and it tells you the psalm, and it tells you the lessons that are assigned for this week. And every week it has, this is revised every 50 to 75 years to make it make sense a little bit more. But that's how we get the readings. So you can put this away. But if you remember last week, we started with Jesus in the synagogue, and he's ended with this has been fulfilled in your hearing. And this week it's going to be picked up with this has been fulfilled in your hearing. And what we're going to hear is how quickly things went from you're amazing to I want to kill you. And when I think about when we get into those discussions in our communities, how quickly we go from you're amazing to I want to kill you, when we get into those discussions around how do we interpret how we live our lives. But I'd like to take a step aside from that for a moment and go to Jeremiah. So today we hear the call of Jeremiah. And the Lord says, where it picks up the reading, the Lord says to Jeremiah, before you were formed, I knew you in the womb. Before you were born, I consecrated you to be my prophet. And Jeremiah says, I'm just a little boy. And what we think is he was probably around 10 years old. And if you know a 10-year-old, and God is saying to this 10-year-old, you're going to speak my words to the world, and that 10-year-old tries to speak those words to the world, who's going to listen? Who's going to believe that he's speaking of God? And especially when he starts saying, you guys are messing up. And we've heard that through Isaiah for the last couple of weeks or months. Isaiah keeps telling the people, you're messing up. You've got to turn back to God. You've got to live the way that you were called to live. You've got to use your gifts in the way they were intended. And Jeremiah knows he's going to be called to do the same thing, and he's basically saying, no thanks. I'm too young. That's a good excuse. And God says, but remember, I'm with you. And I can only picture Jeremiah saying, well, that's nice, but who's going to face those bullies when they come to get me? And I think we do the same thing when we are called to speak the truth, as we say, well, that's nice that God's with me, but who's going to defend me? And so God continues and says, I will put the words in your mouth. And we hear over and over again that we need to trust in the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will give us the words we are to speak. Okay, so that's nice. Jeremiah was called as a prophet. We are each called to do something in this world. And some of you might say, I've never heard that call. Or some of you might say, well, I heard it when I was younger, but, you know, I had to earn a living and, you know, or I heard the call and it was too hard. I said, no, thank you. Or maybe you have not yet heard the call, or you say, I'm too old to hear the call. I think about Ed Tyler. He worked, but he also had this call to work with wood. That was his vocation, his hobby, whatever you want to call it. And if you look at the paneling in the church, Ed Tyler did that. That was not his paid profession. The altar rail. But even more beautiful, I call them bowls and vases. His family does not call them bowls and vases because they're beautiful works of art made from wood. Calling this beautiful piece out of the wood. He knew that call, that compelling, I have to do this whether I get paid for it or not. And each one of us has that thing within us that we feel compelled to do, whether we understand it or not, whether we get paid for it or not. If you remember last week in one of the readings, we were saying we're not all toes, because like that would be a silly body if we were all toes. But we can't eliminate the toes. Okay, it didn't say that exactly. But we need each piece, each part to make the body, whether we understand why we need those parts or not. And what that is for the building up of community, for building the kingdom of God. We need each and every one of you to identify what that is that you are offering. And then to know that God is with you in that and will give you the gifts you need to do that. One of the things that I know is that God doesn't call it out in you because you're necessarily really good at it or going to make a ton of money. When you say yes to God, God gives you the tools you need to do that work. But you have to trust, and you have to work at it. Which then takes us to the reading from 1 Corinthians. It's a very noted reading. We hear it often at weddings about love. But what struck me first is, if you speak in the truth, the tongues of mortals and angels, but without love, you're just a noisy gong, a banging cymbal. If we speak without love, it means nothing. But then the reading today says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. We need to listen to this. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful, does not rejoice in the wrongdoing, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things and endures all things. Love never ends. And what we know about our human love is, yeah, it does. We reach that point where you've stepped on my last nerve and I'm done. But God's love builds community. God's love builds relationship that not our human love, but the love that the Spirit gives us that strength, that courage, that hope, that promise to do whatever we are called to do in love. Hard to do. And so we get back to the gospel, and the gospel last week was where Jesus, going to his synagogue in his hometown, so he had been wandering and starting his ministry, and I can't imagine, he's from this small town, 200 to 300 people, and he's been there for 30 years of his life in the same hometown of 200 to 300 people. And he disappears. He goes on walkabout. And he starts calling disciples, and he starts doing things in the countryside. And then he comes back home. And I can only imagine what that's like. They must have heard rumors about him. But he comes back home, and he goes into the synagogue on this Saturday morning. And I can only imagine that everybody's wondering what he's going to say. Who are these people with him? What's going to happen next? So they ask him to speak. And they bring out the scroll with the scripture. And he doesn't read the assigned scripture for the day. He has them turn it, and he's like right there. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has proclaimed to me release of the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And if you don't know what the year of the Lord's favor means, it happens every 7 years, and then seven of seven. In the 50th year, it's the year of Jubilee. The year of the Lord's favor is where your crops will be bountiful, where you forgive all debt to all people, where you reclaim what's yours. People give back your land. People give back your plow. You give back what is everybody else's. You take care of the poor. You look after the needy and the orphans and the widows. It's the year of the Lord's favor where everything gets reset back to what actually works. And then Jesus says, and today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And today's scripture picks up from that, and they said everybody was amazed. Everybody was absolutely amazed. And then we don't know exactly what happened, who got angry first. But Jesus starts saying, what, you expect miracles? You expect me to, like, wave a magic wand? Is that what you want? And kind of in our heart of hearts, that is what we want. Can't there be a magic wand to make everything go back to normal, good? But Jesus is saying it's not about that. It's not about me doing this. Together we're doing this. Together, using our gifts, doing this. And in this one reading, he kind of lays out the vision for his entire ministry, and not just his ministry, our ministry, and not just our ministry, but the building of the kingdom of God here on earth. He starts out with, this is what it looks like, and now it's happening. The world is ready for this to happen. And what do? They chase him up the mountainside, and they're going to push him off the cliff. They want to kill him. I think about Jeremiah and Jesus. Through their entire ministries, they challenged government. They challenged religious leaders. They said, we have got to get back on track. And for it, they suffered. Jesus died because of that. And what did he do? He was resurrected to proclaim that the ministry still continues, that our sins have been forgiven, that we still have these gifts and his love and his presence to do the work that he laid out right there. Every time somebody asked him, what else is it that I need to inherit the kingdom. And he says, well, give up your stuff and love each other. What are the greatest commandments? Love God. Love your neighbor. And we keep saying, well, that can't be right. There must be more to it than that. When I hear squabbles around Scripture, what I think is that we need to interpret it in the way that it was intended. What of these interpretations builds the kingdom of God? Which one of these interpretations builds community? Which one of these interpretations shows forth God's love for the world? We're not called to divide and conquer, or to be right, or to prove our point, or to take sides. We were created to build the kingdom of God. So I want to challenge you this week to figure out, what gift is it that you are called to bring forth? Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and join in saying the Nicene Creed found on page 358 of the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 358. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. Prayers of the People is Form 6, found on page 392 of the Red Prayer Book. In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work.
For our friends and neighbors, and for those who are home.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble. For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For our presiding bishop, our bishop. For all other bishops and other ministers, especially Lynn and Gary.
For all who serve God and his church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation.
We pray for Travis.
Hear us, Lord.
Your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God our King.
And praise your name forever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, knowing and unknowing, things done and left undone, and so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
please, Jeff. I know. Another spot.
How long can she hold that note? Good morning and welcome.
Morning.
We got a little break in the weather. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but thanks be to God. A couple of things, and a couple that I'm sure I've forgotten. Hopefully we're having the parish hall painted this week. Hopefully he will start Monday or Tuesday. So you will see some paint swatches on the wall. Ignore those. We had a team that picked the color. Hopefully you can live with it. End of that discussion. We'll see. If you have strong feelings, come and tell me, and I'll say, uh-huh. But because of that, we need to clear out everything. The ceiling is being painted as well as the walls and the trim. And so when you're done with coffee hour, if you could help us move and stack the chairs in the Sunday school room, and then we have to move the tables because they are painting the ceiling. So if you could help with that, I'd appreciate that. If you're a guest or a visitor, I invite you to sign the guest book and to join us for coffee hour downstairs immediately following the service. There were two other things I was supposed to remember. Safeway, we're gone. Other announcements. Charlie.
Seth is now in Mountain Home, Idaho, Air Force Base. His address, I gave one of them for her to publish, and there's one on the table of all the books at the end of the coffee hour table.
Perfect. So you can pick up Seth's new address. Other announcements. Walk in love. Oops, sorry, Michael. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
things in life, some of our altar linens have gone the way of all flesh. You know, they're falling apart. And so we have some new ones, and this morning we are going to dedicate them. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks that you have put into the hearts of your people to make offerings for your service, and you have been pleased to accept their gifts. Be with us now and bless us as we set apart these purificators and lavabo towels to your praise and glory, and in honor of Betty Fry for her years of dedicated service to the Altar Guild, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Eucharistic Prayer B continues on page 367 in the Red Book of Common Prayer, page 367. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in the word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death.
We proclaim his resurrection.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Just to live it, Lord. Jesus loves me, this I know.
Post-communion prayer can be found on page 365 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 365. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father,
you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.